Zero.
Are you going to play the Santeria song?
Nope.
Better.
Is this Love Cats?
This is a good beat, guys. This is good.
Yeah, it is. Well, that is so appropriate. Welcome to Drive to HR, Brian, William, and Nisha, coming to you live every day. One of the most entertaining pre-shows for everybody out there. We do kind of a green room type thing that we try to get people loosened up a little bit with some insightful, clever, completely inappropriate conversations, and it works almost every time. And so...
I couldn't help myself.
The Cure is like the perfect place to. I needed to hear that, so I think it was totally intuitive that our guest, who I want to welcome, Perry Gorman, welcome to Drive Through HR.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate you asking me to be on.
So I will actually. We probably won't go and continue on the conversation in pre-show as much as my.
No, we don't want to blow out all the people out there.
Oh yeah, best radio ever. So if you would introduce yourself to our family, and we'll roll into what's top of mind after that.
Okay, my name is Perry Gorman. I am the CEO and founder of Archively, which is a people research platform that basically allows you to. Create digital dossiers on anyone from information publicly available on the web. And I come from 13-plus years executive search on Wall Street and now run a software company.
Boom.
That's like the two-second version.
Nice. There's a 90-minute version, though. Yeah, I was going to say, we'll get to it later. Do us a favor, and we want to ask you, because you're, you know, obviously you're on the vendor side, what's keeping you up at night running this company and all of the kind of HR-related stuff that you're doing, and also what do you think is keeping your clients up at night?
So, as we mentioned before, like, what keeps me up at night has nothing to do with the show. But I think when we kind of, when I think about why I'm doing this and why I left executive search to do this and kind of move on to this side of the world, what keeps me up at night is that I feel like there's a way that we're using technology that's like killing our humanity in this business. And I feel like... I spoke at something recently, and I was thinking of an analogy of how I wanted to describe it. And what I described it was is, like, imagine that the industry is, like, a house on fire, and it's, like, burning down, and everybody's sitting around being like, it's really hot in here. And then a bunch of people from the outside are coming in and being like, oh, you're hot? I have an awesome new air conditioner for you. And then everybody's like, wait, that's great. I have an air conditioner. And it's like melting as you're putting it into the wall because the house is burning down and nobody's bothering to ask why. It's hot. Does that make sense?
No, it totally
is
makes sense.
Is that a little too meta?
No, I'm right there. Hold on, let me put my bong down. I'm back now. No, I'm just kidding.
I guess what I mean is, like, when I look at sort of the... I come from a background which isn't in-house, right? So I come from, a lineage of I am a recruiter, right? I did it for many, many years at a very high level and worked on some really big things, and it was awesome. But I was never in-house. And so I feel like I have a little bit of a different perspective on kind of the industry from a vendor perspective. And when I listen to people talk about their problems, I feel like the whole industry is on the back foot. Like, there is this sense that we are constantly in reaction to, as opposed to being proactive. And it's just like a lot of shit is getting thrown against the wall. Oh, am I allowed to curse on this show?
Oh, yeah. No, we're good. FCC is, they, thank goodness, they have not clamped down on us, although I'm sure
yeah.
that that's coming. Let me ask
Sorry.
You.
Yeah. But don't do it again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You're doing fine. The hardest part of running a tech startup, you're in the heart of Silicon Valley. I'm assuming that it's very difficult to find great talent, et cetera, although that is an assumption. What's, for the audience, kind of that is a bubble within a bubble within another bubble, the life that you live. What's the hardest part of running a tech startup?
I wrote an answer on Quora recently to a question saying, you know, what is it like to be a startup CEO? And my answer was, it's like being a 5-star chef in the back of a food truck with one burner making a 10-course meal for 1,000 people with the resources for 100 while you're pouring wine, washing dishes, entertaining, and setting the table in zero gravity.
With no clothes on. Totally
understand. Oh, I didn't even think about that. But, yeah, I mean, yeah, naked,
yeah,
too.
Right? Yeah, and naked. Are you funded or not funded and or what?
Yeah, we're funded. We're not, like, hardcore funded, but we're funded. We're going to be raising more money soon.
How is that? Take us into that process.
The raising money?
Mm-hmm.
Raising money is interesting. I didn't know we were going to be talking about this, Mr. Tin Cup. I the way I started raising money, I actually raised money in February, and I raised it where I was, like, just putting a team together. So it's kind of like I raised it with first I started with my advisor, so I put together a really good advisory board, and then I started kind of going to them, and then I went out, and I basically cherry-picked a number of people and made it. And this is kind of how I do everything, which is recruiting included, is like getting to a yes. Like, what is it going to be that's going to make it a yes for these people? And so that's how I put my round together.
Well, and if you're uncomfortable with that, we can definitely go back to the other conversation. That would be just as entertaining. I'm just saying. The options, lots of options on DriveThruHR. So relative to this, to being, you know, the startup environment, what's kind of the one surprise that has kind of just struck you? Because you obviously have been very accomplished and you seem very thorough and driven at what you do. So what's the one surprise that you're like, huh, did not put that together the way that I thought it was going to happen? Good or bad, doesn't matter.
My team. Mm. My team. And, like, you know, there's something about that which is, like, I mean, I don't really talk about this very often, but my team fell apart like 4 times. And, you know, as a recruiter and as someone who, like, people look at me and they're like, expect me to be able to, like, just pull all that stuff together. It's very different to recruit for yourself than it is to recruit for other people. And two, it's very hard to recruit at early stage when you don't start a company with someone. Like, so if I could have gone back and redone it, I would have, like, started a company with a technical person as opposed to starting a company as a solo founder, non-technical founder. Because what happens is that there's this dichotomy in sort of what I, like, the landscape of engineers, which is sort of like there's all these amazing engineers that have an early stage mindset, and most of them want to work on their own thing. And this is not a victim story, by the way. This is just, like, the way I kind of lay out the landscape, which is that you've got a lot of engineers who want to work on their own thing, and it's, you know, it's kind of they have the risk appetite to work on something early stage, but if they want to do that, they want to work on their own thing. And then there's the other side of, like, people who want more money, more security, more stability, more proof points that aren't necessarily available to you yet. And so it's sort of like a dance, right? It's figuring out how do I take this thing and this vision that's in my head, get people to believe in me, and actually get it into the world when I'm not the one building it. it's actually really hard. But
yeah.
It's like, but that's why I'm doing it, right? Like that's what makes it so good. And now, you know, and then you get a little bit further down, and then like all of a sudden, it's not just an idea anymore, and it's not just on paper, but like people are using it, and you've got, you know, you've got a beautiful UI, and people can see it, and then they can see the vision better, and you know, it's all about making progress to the point where you start like attracting more people. So.
Right. So, first of all, I
God,
didn't
that
recognize.
Was so vulnerable, guys.
Nice.
I didn't
nice.
Know that.
That's what happens. You come on this show and just everything
oh
pours
God,
out.
Oh my God! I just got hit by a train.
Yeah. My bad. So that's what we do.
Just
we lull you into
self-medicate. That's all I'm saying.
False
that's
sense
threat,
of security.
Right,
just come on
oh
in.
Oh my
no,
God!
It'll be an easy show.
To the audience,
we
they got me in the green room. They asked me about my sex life, and then they slammed me.
That's what happens, people. That, beware,
oh,
beware. So everyone in the audience, as you're listening to this, Perry runs a wonderful startup in our space. So first of all, she's done the job. She's done stuff in the industry. She's worked a different side. Now she's overall running a company, tech startup, and it's Archively. So as you look at that, it's archive.ly. So when you first kind of pull that up on the web and you take a look at it. It's beautiful and it works, which, you know, already separates her from most of the technologies in our space. Just kidding. William is known for sarcasm. So, you know, it says at the very top, people research simplified. And when Jessica Millomero first introduced us, I went to the site, signed up for the beta, whatever, invite. And so when I first looked at it, I thought stalking. And
we try not to use that word, William. It's bad for PR.
Really? Because that's what I thought of, like, people research. Like, who the hell do I research? It's when I stalk people. Oh, okay. Like, did y'all ever have, in all seriousness, did you ever have or do you have conversations around, you know, creeping, stalking, collecting, like all of that, the internet behavior that we all do? Everyone does.
So I think that, you know, if you want to know the background of how I, like, why this exists, it's because
yes.
I found that so when I first started sourcing, just FYI, just to bring everybody kind of back to that, like when I first started sourcing, I was about to say stalking. When I first started stalking, no, when I first started sourcing, there was no information on anyone. I had a paper directory in front of me and a highlighter and a phone, and I used to draw org charts on paper and then put it in our, like, dinosaur CRM called Encore. Sorry if there are any of those users online. But so... You know, when I first started, it was sort of like we had to create all the information and dig it out. And when I look at the web today, it's like, oh my God, it's a recruiter's dream. Like, there's so much information on the web, and it's like only it's only increasing every day. But the thing is,
well,
hey,
real quick, let me stop
yeah.
you there, because the thing is, there's more information, but it actually makes it harder in some ways. One of the things I've heard
oh, totally.
From recruiters,
people get knocked out by it.
Exactly. Now I know so much that there's no perfect candidates, whereas before, because I didn't know that person was a serial rapist or, you know, some of the other things that were there, you know, I could always say I didn't know. Well, it's harder for a lot of these guys, gals, because, well, now you know everything about every candidate. So anyhow, I digress.
So, okay, so that's one thing, and I think that so when I came up with this idea, part of it was on a very simple level. Like, I looked at my workflow, and I looked at, this is how I research people, and I have nowhere to put it. Like, people, actually more than 50% of our users use spreadsheets for what our product does. Now, they don't even use their CRMs or their ATSs or other products yet. It's like this pre-processed piece of the pie that nobody is really addressing. And so, you know, there's just this way that you browse and you flow and you research and you want to put things together, and you're not even connected to these people yet. You're not even sure you want to connect to them yet. You don't know what you're going to say to them when you write to them. And, you know, we're in this culture of, like, pay to play, which is like these aggregators and these search engines. And, you know, LinkedIn really did that in the sense that if you're a company and you're paying for 6 LinkedIn recruiter seats And yeah, maybe you have talent pipeline or, you know, you use the projects on LinkedIn, but I would say to you, like, are you really building your own data? Like, where are you putting that? And, you know, coming from executive search, which is like where data is everything, right? The data that you collect over a decade is everything. It's the entire value of the company. It's the intelligence. I think that every company has the opportunity to operate like that now. And instead, they're paying for the privilege of searching.
So back to stalking.
Yeah, so back to stalking. So, but this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about collecting information. So the I forget where, I think it was one of the directors of the CIA was speaking at some like GigaOM conference, and he said something about like a piece of data is only as good as it is connected to another piece of data at a future point in time.
Oh, that's genius. In the,
and
in
so,
the workflow – oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, so if you are constantly researching people and looking for candidates and you're not really collecting and saving that data, I think that, you, again, you're always in a reactionary position.
Yeah, completely. And let me do a quick reset, everybody. Time
Sorry.
Is flying by. So all good. So everybody, listen, Drive Through HR, it's Brian and William talking with the fabulous Perry Gorman. Oh, my gosh, what an amazing subject. And I like the data connectedness about that because, like you said, 10 years of data, you should really get the patterns and a lot of intelligence of what people used to do, what they do today, and maybe what they want to do, and you can predict in the future with good data.
But the thing is, everybody, no one's actually collecting that for themselves now. They're expecting vendors to come up with tools and platforms that aggregate that for them, and I think that they're giving away their power.
Explain that for us, Perry.
So what I mean is, okay, if you've got six people and you're paying for a LinkedIn recruiter seat for those six people, and the majority of the day they're searching on LinkedIn and they're finding profiles. When you, as a recruiter or someone who does this for a living, when I do a search, I go through profiles and I'm like, this is interesting, not interesting, interesting, not interesting, interesting, not interesting. Sure, LinkedIn wants me to put it into a folder. I want to put it somewhere where I have pulled that person out and say, like, this is relevant to me. It's already been through my professional filter, and I want to be able to keep that, capture it, and save it and search it for later. Whether I act on it now or not, I want to be building a database of information that as I search on the web, I know what's relevant, and over time, the value of that is going to be enormous. And
right.
I feel like we're not doing that right now because there is a disconnect between traditional CRM systems and the way that the data is available to us now. Like, we're still playing with these static manual CRMs. And maybe people are adding widgets here or there, like to update stuff with the social stuff, but it's not what I mean.
Right. Do you see, because, you know, there's a bunch of people tinkering around this space, right? So you've got Guild and Intello and TalentBin that are doing more of the social persona kind of work and aggregating some of that type of work. But I don't think any of the three, if I'm correct, have a way of saving that in the same way or similar way that you're talking about.
Yeah,
and then you've got
so like,
all the...
My thing is, You can use any of those systems, and I know all those guys, and they're great companies. I love John Bishka from Intello. I think, you know, the sonar feature of what he's trying to do and bubble up, you know, candidates that are, you know, potentially looking for a job is totally brilliant. It's a completely different offering because what I'm saying is, like, I don't care where you get the data. Ours is where you put it. And so... We're kind of agnostic as to where you get that information.
So the putting it part, so that I have it in my head correct, do you think that that's the end for a lot of folks? Like this becomes their social CRM, ATS database thingamabob, or do you see a future where this stuff is also connected to those types of applications?
So I think that there needs to be like a huge shift in the way that we look at recruitment in general. And I think that a lot of the compliant, like right now the industry is driven by compliance and it's driven by like a reactive incoming job board application kind of mentality. And I think that if you talk to a lot of people, like, that actually is not great. And where a lot of the success in companies today is, you know, it's if you the higher percentages of good hires are coming from referrals. And I think we're moving to a place of organizational recruitment, you know, where tools are going to break down the wall between the hiring managers and the interviewing teams and the HR department. And how do you not just spam your network with a job rec, but like how do you strategically figure out who your team should be talking to between recruiting and the hiring manager, and then like approaching it like an elephant hunt? And so I think that just due to the difficulty and nature of hiring today, things are going to have to start to change.
Yeah, I see the same stuff. It's in fact one of the knocks on almost all ATSs ever has been that no one goes back and looks in their ATS because it's either too painful or too hard or it's not in their workflow. They all go and cast a brand new net. And then bring things into their ATS to never go back and look at. So one of the things I want to ask you about, and that's true. I don't care. Pick any of the great ATSs ever. They all have a very similar problem is usage of current data, the stuff that's already in the ATS. How are you and I know you know that because you've interacted with a lot of those ATSs. How are you changing that, like from – you know, fundamentally changing that, but how are you changing that to make it easier for people to reuse the stuff that they already have?
So fundamentally, number one, like, I don't want to actually do the work for people. Like, there are things that are going to be automated and archivally, but there is a heavy manual piece of it, and people are like, why is it manual? And I said, because it's like going to class and writing notes. It's like there is a way in which the work actually kind of transmits into your brain, and there's value in the process. And we're losing process right now, by the way, too. We've zombied like the whole recruitment industry in terms of that's a whole other call, I think. But it's being able to bring things into this system and then being able to research that. So we scrape things. I'm not going to get into all that right now, but we do a lot of scraping so we can store information. And the future of this is really to have it be like dynamic search so that everything that you bring into the system can be dynamically searched real time. Does that make sense?
Oh, totally. What's cool about it, again, this is a choice of anybody can get into an ATS, whereas with Archively, it's user appreciated or user appointed content where they've actually said, you know, out of the 1,800 things that I'm looking at, these four things should go in, everything else should stay out, which is probably one of the inherent barriers of a lot of ATSs is that there is no filter. Everything goes in there, the trash, the weeds, the, you know, the shingles, everything goes in there. And thus, that's probably one of the reasons that recruiters don't use it as frequently. Let me ask, because you're early
stage. William, I mean, these are also, like, so just to clarify for everyone who's listening is that Archively is a recruiter generate, like, the recruiter generates the profiles of people. So this is not a user, like, the user is not the, like, the profile holder. Like, I built this to actually take the person, the candidate, out of that process and allow the people that are doing the research to do the research and create the profiles.
Yeah. I probably confused people by saying user. What I was thinking about the recruiter as the user. So my bad on that.
Okay.
Your early stage, what's the feedback that you're receiving from folks that is unintended? Meaning there's a lot of things that you probably did. You know, you put it out in front of 100 people and 100 people told you it looks like this. The intended stuff's easy. But what's the unintended feedback that you've gotten so far?
The unintended feedback. There are a lot of people outside of the industry that want to use it. It's amazing. I'm obviously starting in recruitment because that's sort of what I know and that's what I built it for. But this is a workflow that's just for some reason it's what people use spreadsheets for. I mean that was really shocking to us. It was and it wasn't, but it was shocking to the level of how many people use it for that. The best feedback that I got from someone who's a sourcer at a big company who's using it and who also uses some of these other products, including, you know, obviously LinkedIn Recruiter, and he uses one of the big aggregators. And he said to me, when I do it like this, I see the person as a human being. And I said, oh, I said, that is why I built this product. Like that feedback right there, like that is what I was trying to like transmit through the product, is that like if you do this process, you can see who someone is. And then, by the way, you can actually engage with them as a human being, which means that your conversion rates on email and engagement are probably going to be higher.
Oh, that's genius. Let me have you read the book Lean Analytics?
I think you told me to read that, and I haven't yet, but you told me it was going to change my life.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you know, I bring in the water, I bring in the fish. I mean, it's all right here. Like, what do you want me to do? No, I'm just kidding. You will love that book, and I'm going to stop talking about it. The next phase of your company. So if you look out and all of a sudden you blink, it's 2015. Give us an idea of what you
2015.
Think.
2015? That's far away. Man,
the
one
asteroid,
week feels like a year.
No. The asteroid still won't hit us for another 15 years, so we're good. We still have plenty of time. But it's 2015. You're looking backwards. What just transpired?
Oh, God, these questions. God, you're killing me. What just transpired?
Yeah.
Like my vision of like where I want to see this go. So
that is correct.
I think that I was actually talking to someone at LinkedIn about this, and like people curation in general is a totally untouched space, and I think that there is huge potential for what we're doing, and this is just the beginning. And while I have a grand vision for it, and like, you know, my number one value and core mission in this is the humanity piece. And at the same time, like, so I have a lot of ideas around like things that we're going to do with the data and algorithms, et cetera, that can hopefully make that kind of a deeper piece of the product. But in general, I think that I also recognize that this thing is bigger than me, and I also want to let it like breathe and grow and have its own life in a way. And so like that's part of like working with customers and seeing where it goes. So we have like I have a plan, but I'm not gripping to it.
Very nice. Like the sounds like you're embracing the universe on that one. Very energetically positive. So props on.
I don't know how you do this if you don't embrace the universe.
I don't know. Look out your front door, up and down the sidewalk, and you'll see a whole bunch of people who don't embrace the universe, and that's how not to do
oh,
it.
Oh no, I know, I know, and I'm just saying that like I think to do this like. You know, to like to put yourself out there, like and ride the edge of the cliff every day. Like you have got to just like commit and have faith. Like that's it. That's the only way you can do it. That's the only way. That's why I sleep at night.
That's again, we're back to that other side of the show. What's the next show? We'll talk about what, why, what keeps you up and what doesn't keep you up at night. That will be a sellout show.
We'll have to do that like after dark.
We can, you know, we can do the after hour show. I think that might be that'll be.
That's
fun.
Not the lunchtime show. That's the after dark show.
Yeah,
that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, the children listening to the show, because we have such a big population of 13 and 14 year olds that listen to Drive Through HR because it's so compelling. We should probably do that a little. So, Perry, thank you so much. We've got about 35 seconds left. Where can people connect with you? And then we are wrapped up. Great show. Great meeting you.
Great meeting you guys, too. And thank you so much for having me on. You did a really good job. I interview people regularly, and you totally knocked me on my ass. Be the Butterfly on Twitter, B-E-T-H-E, Butterfly on Twitter. I respond to all tweets. You can reach me at perry@archive.ly. Those are the best places. We are happy to get your listeners onto the product. So we'd love their feedback. And thanks,
excellent.
Guys.
Woo! Drive through HR.
I'll be at Recruiting Trends next week, too, by the way. So I'll be at Recruiting Trends. I think John Turnberg is actually going to be teaching with Archively on Tuesday. So pretty psyched about that.
Beautiful family out there. Show Perry some Drive Through HR love. Take a look at the product. It's been a trip. Enjoyed it. And we'll maybe get you back on in 2014, not 2015. That's crazy talking about that. So
that's crazy.
It is. I don't know what. I don't even know what happened there. So, okay, we're out of here, folks. Have a good rest of the day.
All right, thanks, guys.
Olé, que pasó.